plays. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. Mr. Burns Mantle, American drama critic, known throughout the country for his yearly volume of Broadway's best plays, will act as commentator. The principal characters in today's play, Ernani by Victor Hugo, will be played by Neil O'Malley, William Thornton, George Gall, and Selina Royal. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burns Mantle.
Today, if you are agreeable, my fellow playgoers, we will turn the time machine back 109 years and join a mob. It should be fun to be a part of the first audience that saw Victor Marie Hugo's Ernani, produced at the Comédie Française in February 1830. It was an audience that yelled lustily either for or against the play, as we might have done last season, when the Mercury Theater in New York laid more or less violent hands upon Shakespeare and produced its raincoat and sweater version of Julius Caesar. But having become used to progressive experiments both in the theater and in the government, we did not care so very much so long as the essence of the tragedy was preserved. In France, they cared a great deal. For 20 years or more, there had been a sort of running fight between those who upheld the classic form of drama and those who would substitute a more flexible and more romantic form. Hugo, a confirmed romantic and a natural nonconformist, had declared himself definitely for a free and pliant theatrical form. The set rules upholding the unities of time and place and action, the demand that all serious drama should be poured into formal, poetic molds of Alexandrine verse, hurt the young progressives of that day, and Hugo became their leader. Why shouldn't the drama be both grave and gay, formal and informal, they demanded, so long as it honestly represented its author? Why did it have to be approved by the king and the literary aristocrats? The poet-playwright was 28 at the time. He had been active in literary circles for more than 10 years. He was contributing poems and essays to prize contests at 14 and 15 and being slighted by his judges because they thought he must be lying about his age. His father, an officer in the French army, had been stationed in Madrid for a time, and Spanish influences were noticeable in all of Hugo's early work. The early Spanish classic that inspired Corneille's The Cid also influenced Hugo's writing of Ernani. Ernani was Hugo's fourth play. When it was announced for production, and it became plain that it was to stand the test of the classic's most determined attack, Hugo announced nobly that the play must win on its merits. He would not employ a claque to help it, as was a common custom in the French theater. He was smart enough, however, to have 100 or a few hundred free tickets printed and distributed among his friends. Now, as we push our way through the crowd outside the theater, there are many heated arguments. Groups here and there are coming as close to blows as the French usually come. Inside, we find the supporters of the classics concentrated in the boxes, so this, again, becomes pretty much a contest between the aristocracy and the people. And now the curtain is being raised and the battle is on. Boos, catcalls, cheers, and a good deal of stomping and whistling rend the air. Hardly a spoken line is heard for minutes at a time. Slowly, the romantics become the noisier of the two groups, and a victory of sorts is won. But this, mind you, was only the first night. For the next 3 months, similar scenes were repeated at every performance. Today, this mob of ours will have at least one advantage. We will hear the lines. And whatever booing or cheering we decide to do, we will keep pretty much to ourselves. Ernani has to do with the love of the bandit hero of the title, a king, Don Carlos, and an aging noble, Don Ruy, for the same woman, and she, the beautiful Doña Sol, who is Don Ruy's niece. As we come into the action, we are in a room in the castle of Don Ruy, who has decided to marry Doña Sol. Night is falling. Doña Sol's companion, Doña Josefa, is drawing crimson curtains across the barred windows. She hears a knock at a secret door under the stairway. She is expecting Ernani, but the man she admits is a stranger, his face partly concealed by his cape.
Can it be he already? Tis indeed at the hidden stairway. I must open quick. Good evening to you, sir. What now? You are not Signor Ernani.
Two words more, duenna, and you die. is this the room of Doña Sol, betrothed to her old uncle, Duke de Pastrana. A very worthy lord he is, senile, white-haired, and jealous. Tell me, is it true the beauteous Doña loves a smooth-faced youth, all whiskerless as yet, and sees him here each night in spite of envious care? Tell me, am I informed aright? Will you not speak?
You did forbid me, sir, to speak two words.
One will suffice. I want a yes or no. Say, is thy mistress Doña Sol de Silva?
Yes, why?
No matter why. Just at this hour, the venerable lover is away.
He is.
And she expects the young one now.
Yes.
Is this the place where they will surely meet?
Yes.
Hide me somewhere here.
You?
Yes, me.
Why?
No matter why.
I hide you here?
Yes, here.
No, never.
Madam, condescend to choose between a purse and a dagger.
I take the purse. Go. Go in here.
This box?
If you don't like it, go away. Heavens, I hear the step of Doña Sol. Shut the door.
Remember, if you breathe a word, you die.
Professor! Madame! Hermione is coming up. Go. Quick, at once, undo ere he has time to knock. Hermione! Oh!
Ah, Doña Sol, it is yourself at last I see. Your voice it is I hear. Oh, why does cruel fate keep you so far from me? I have such need of you to help my heart forget all else.
Oh, heavens, your cloak is drenched. The rain must pour.
I know not.
And the cold, you must be cold.
I feel it not.
Take off this cloak, then, pray. Tell me, are you cold?
Not near to you. Ah, when the raging fire of jealous love burns in the veins, and the true heart is riven by its own tempest, we feel not the clouds o'erhead, though storm and lightning may fling forth.
Come, give me now the cloak, and your sword, too.
No, 'tis my other love, faithful and pure. The old Duke, Doña Sol, your promised spouse, your uncle. Is he absent now?
Oh, yes. This hour to us belongs.
It is happiness to know the Duke is absent. I am like a thief who forces doors. I enter, see you, rob an old man of an hour of your sweet voice and looks. And I am happy. Though no doubt he would deny me in 1 hour, although he steals my very life.
Be calm. Grandpa.
Yes, madame.
This wet cloak. Take and dry it.
Yes, madame.
The Duke, then, is not in the mansion now.
How grand you look.
He is away.
Oh, dear one, let us not think about the Duke.
Madam, but let us think of him. The grave old man who loves you, who will marry you. How now? He took a kiss from you the other day. Not think of him?
Is that which grieves you thus? A kiss upon my brow, an uncle's kiss, almost a father's.
No, not so. It was a lover's husband's jealous kiss. To him. To him it is that you will soon belong. Thinkst thou not of it? Oh, the foolish dotard, with head drooped down to finish out his days, wanting a wife, he takes a girl. Himself most like a frozen specter. Sees he not the senseless one, that while with one hand he espouses you, the other mates with death? Who is it that makes for you this marriage? You're forced to it, I hope.
They say the king desires it.
King? This king? My father on the scaffold died, condemned by his. And though one may have aged since then, Corrine, the shadow of that king, his son, his widow, and for all to him allied, my hate continues fresh. While still a child, I swore that I'd avenge my father on his son. I sought him in all places. Charles, the king of the Castiles. For hate is rife between our families. The fathers wrestled long and without pity and without remorse for 30 years. For them, no peace has come. Their sons keep up the duel still.
You frighten me.
This old, old man for whom they destined you. This Ruy de Silva, Duke de Pastrana, Count and Grandee, rich man of Aragon. In place of youth can give thee, oh, young girl, such store of gold and jewels that your brow will shine among royalty's own diadems. And for your rank and wealth and pride and state, queens may well perhaps envy you. See then just what he is. And now consider me. My poverty is absolute, I say. Only the forest, where I ran barefoot in childhood, did I know. Although perchance I too can claim illustrious blazonry, that's dimmed just now by rusting stain of blood. Meanwhile, from jealous heaven I've received but air and light and water, gifts bestowed on all. Now, wish you from the Duke of me to be delivered. You must choose twixt us, whether you marry him or follow me.
I will follow you.
Think what will prove to follow me through woods and over mountain paths, with comrades like the fiends that come in dreams, to live in fear, suspicious of a sound, of voices, eyes, to sleep upon the earth, drink at the stream, and hear at night while nourishing perchance some wakeful babe, the whistling musket balls. To be a wanderer with me proscribed, and when my father I shall follow, then e'en to the scaffold, you to follow me.
I'll follow you.
The Duke is wealthy, great and prosperous, without a stain upon his ancient name. He offers you his hand, and can give all things, treasures, dignities, and pleasure.
We'll set out tomorrow. Only one thing do I know, that I'm your slave. Now listen, wheresoever you go, I go. Pause you or move, I'm yours. Why act I thus? Oh, that I cannot tell. Only I want to see you evermore. When sound of your receding footstep dies, I feel my heart stops beating. Without you, myself seems absent. But when I detect again the step I love, my soul comes back. I breathe. I live once more.
Oh, angel mine.
Midnight and tomorrow, clap your hands two times beneath my window, bringing there your escort. Go, I shall be strong and brave.
Now know you who I am?
Only, my lord. Enough, what matters else? I follow you.
Not so. Since you, a woman weak, decide to come with me, it is right that you should know what name, what rank, what soul. Perchance, what fate there hides beneath the lower nani here.
When will you finish all this history? Think you tis pleasant in this cupboard hole?
Who is this man?
Oh, heaven's help!
Be still, my Doña Soul. You'll wake up dangerous eyes. Never, whatever be, while I am near, seek other help than mine. What do you hear?
I? Well, I'm not riding through the wood that you should ask.
He who affronts, then jeers may cause his heir to laugh.
Each, sir, in turn, let us speak frankly. You the lady love, and come each night to mirror in her eyes your own. I love her too, and want to know who 'tis I have so often seen come in the window way, while I stand at the door.
Upon my word, I'll send you out the way I enter.
As to that, we'll see. My love I offer unto madam. Shall we then agree to share it? In her bounteous soul. I've seen her so much of tenderness and love and sentiment that she, I'm very sure, has quite enough for ardent lovers twain. Therefore, tonight, wishing to end suspense on your account, I forced an entrance, hid, and, to confess it all, I listened too, but I heard badly and was nearly choked, and then I crumpled my French vest, and so, by Jove, come out I must.
Likewise, my blade is not at ease and hurries to leap out.
Well, sir, as you please.
Defend yourself.
Oh, heavens, no.
Be calm, senora.
Tell me, sir, your name.
Tell me yours.
It is a fatal secret, kept for my breathing in another's ear someday when I am conqueror, with my knee upon his breast and dagger in his heart.
Then tell to me this other's name.
To thee, what matters it? On guard. Defend thyself.
Oh, heavens, there's someone knocking at the door.
Who knocks in this way?
Madame, a surprise. An unexpected blow. It is the Duke come home.
The Duke? Then every hope is lost.
Gracious. What's this stranger out of his cupboard? And swords and fighting. Here's a fine business.
What is to be done?
Doña Soul, open to me.
Do not open.
Holy St. James, now draw us through this broil.
Let's hide.
What, in this cupboard?
Yes, go in. I will take care that it shall hold us both.
Oh, thanks. No, it is too good a joke.
Let's fly that way, by the secret door.
Good night. But as for me, I stay here.
Fire and fury, sir. We will be quits for this.
Open the door.
What is it that he says?
Open the door, I say.
Oh, I shall die.
My niece, with two men at this hour of night? No, by St. John of Avila, I vow that we three with you, madam, are by two too many. My young sirs, what do you hear? When with the Cid and Bernard, giants, both of Spain and of the world, they travel through Castile protecting women, honoring old men. These men respected whitened beards. Behold, what were the men of former times, whom I with anguish now compare with these I see today. What do you hear? Is it to say a white-haired man's but fit for youth to point at when he passes in the street and jeer at there? Shall they so laugh at me?
But you...
Be still! You have sword, lance, falcons, and the chase, and songs to sing neath balconies at night. Festivals, pleasures, feathers in your hats, raiment of silk, youth, joy of life. But wearied of them all at any price, you want a toy and take an old man for it.
Most noble.
I have a treasure, mine to guard with care, a young girl's character, a family's fame. This girl I love, by kinship to me bound, pledged soon to change her ring for one from me. I know her spotless, chaste, and pure. Yet when I leave my home 1 hour, I, Ruy Gomez de Silva, find a thief who steals from me my honor, glides into my house. Back, back, make clean your hands, oh base and soulless men, whose presence flashing by must serve to taint our women's fame.
Lord,
grooms! Bring me my dagger of Toledo, axe and dirk. Now follow, follow me, ye two.
Duke, this is not the pressing thing just now. First, we've to think of Maximilian dead, the Emperor of Germany. Look upon my face.
The king!
The king!
The king of Spain.
Yes, Charles, my noble duke. Are thy wits gone? The emperor, my grandsire, is no more. I knew it not until this eve, and came at once to tell it you, and counsel ask, incognito at night, knowing you were a loyal subject that I much regard. The thing is very simple that has caused this hubbub.
But why was it the door was not more quickly opened?
Reason good. Remember all your escort. When it is a weighty secret of the state I bear that brings me to your palace, it is not to tell it to thy servants.
Highness, forgive me the appearances.
Good father, I've made thee governor of the castle of Figueres, but whom thy governor shall I make?
Pardon.
Is enough. We'll say no more of this. The emperor is dead.
Your highness's grandfather dead?
Aye, duke. You see me here in deep affliction.
And who'll succeed to him?
A duke of Saxony is named. The throne, Francis I of France, aspires to mount.
Where do the electors of the empire meet?
They say at Aix-la-Chapelle, or at Spire, or Frankfurt.
But our king, whom God preserve, has he not thought of empire?
Constantly.
To you it should revert.
I know it, duke.
Your father was Archduke of Austria.
But I was born a citizen of Ghent.
His last campaign exalted Francis mightily.
The eagle that soon perchance upon my helm will gleam knows also how to open out its wings.
And knows your highness Latin?
Not much.
Pity that. The German nobles like the best those who in Latin speak to them.
With haughty Spanish they will be content. For trust King Charles, 'twill be of small account when masterful the voice, what tongue it speaks. To Flanders I must go. Your king, dear duke, must emperor return. The king of France will stir all means. I must be quick to win. I shall set out at once.
Do you then go, O highness, without clearing Aragon of those fresh bandits who among the hills their daring insolence show everywhere?
To the Duke d'Arcos I have orders given that he should quite exterminate the band.
But is the order given to its chief to let the thing be done?
Who is this chief? His name?
I know not. But the people say that he's an awkward customer.
Sure. I know that he somewhere in Galicia hides. With a few soldiers, we'll soon capture him.
Then it was false, this rumor which declared that he was hereabouts?
Quite false. Thou canst accommodate me here tonight.
Thanks, Highness. You'll do all honor to the king, my guest.
Hermione, tomorrow midnight, without fail, beneath my window. Clap your hands twice.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. I've crossed my sword with yours. That honor, sir, I've granted you. For many reasons, I suspect you much. But to betray you now would shame the king. Go, therefore, freely. E'en I deign to aid your flight.
Yes, your highness.
This lord, who is he?
One of my followers, who'll soon depart.
It is midnight of the following day. In front of Don Ruy's house, several cloaked figures are moving about in the shadows. Above them, there is a window opening on a small balcony. Now a light appears in the window. All but one of the men disappear in the shadows. Don Carlos alone remains. As the light brightens, he claps his hands.
Hermione! Heavens, 'tis not his footsteps.
Don Yasol.
'Tis not his voice. Oh, misery.
What voice is there that thou couldst hear that would be more a lover's? It is still a lover, hero, and king for one.
The king?
Wish, command, a kingdom waits thy will. For he whom thou hast vanquished is thy king, thy lord. 'Tis Charles, thy slave.
Help! Elnani, help!
I fear his maidenly and worthy thee. 'Tis not thy bandit. 'Tis thy king that holds thee now.
Oh, no, the bandit's you. My bandit's worth 100 of such kings. Do you forget my father was a count?
And you, I'll make a duchess.
Nothing Don Carlos can atwixt us be. My father for you freely shed his blood. I am of noble birth, and heedful ever of my name's purity. I am too high to be your concubine, too low to be your wife.
Princess.
Carry to worthless girls, King Charles, your vile addresses.
Well, then, but come, and you shall share my throne, my name. You shall be queen and empress.
No, it is a snare. Besides, I frankly speak, since, Highness, it concerns you. I avow I'd rather with my king, Ernani, roam an outcast from the world and from the law. No thirst and hunger, wandering all the year, sharing the hardships of his destiny, exile and warfare, morning hours of terror, and be an empress with an emperor.
Oh, happy man is he.
What, poor, proscribed?
'Tis well with him, though poor, proscribed he be, for he's beloved. An angel watches him. I'm desolate. You hate me, then.
I love you not.
Well, then, it matters not to me whether you love or whether you love me not. You shall come with me, yes, for that my hand's the stronger, and I will it. And we'll see if I for nothing am the king of Spain and of the Indies.
Highness, pity me. You're king. You only have to choose among the countesses, the duchesses, the great court ladies. All have love prepared to meet and answer yours. When you, the king, have all, would you take me, poor girl, from him who has but me alone?
Come. Come, I cannot listen. Come with me. I'll give of Spain a fourth part unto thee. Say now, what wilt thou? Choose.
For mine own honor's sake, I'll only from your highness take this dirk. Another step, I kill you and myself.
Peace.
One step and all is finished.
Madam, to extremes I'm driven. Yonder there I have three men to force you, followers of mine.
But one you have forgotten.
Ernani! Ernani!
Heaven, my witness is that far from here it was I wished to seek
him. Ernani, save me from him.
My dear love, fear not.
Well, what could all my friends in town be doing thus to let pass by the chief of the Bohemians?
Your friends are in the hands of mine just now, so call not on their powerless swords. For three that you might claim, 60 to me would come, each one worth 4 of yours. So let us now our quarrel terminate. You have dared to lay a hand upon this girl. It was an act of folly, great Castilian king, and one of cowardice.
Sir bandit hole, there must be no reproach from you to me.
He jeers. Oh, I am not a king. But when a king insults me and above all jeers, my anger swells and surges up and lifts me to his height. Take care. When I'm offended, men fear far more the reddening of my brow than helm of king. Foolhardy, therefore, you, if still you're lured by hope. Know you what hand now grasps you? Listen. 'Twas your father who was death of mine. I hate you for it. You my title and my wealth have taken. You I hate. And the same woman now we love. I hate, hate from my soul's depth. You I hate.
That's well.
And yet, this night my hate was lulled. Only one thought, one wish, one want I had. 'Twas Doña Sol. And I, absorbed in love, came here to find you daring against her to strive with infamous design. King Charles, what wilt thou do?
Dare you to question me?
I would not wish an arm obscure should strike thee. 'Tis not so my vengeance should have play. 'Tis I alone must deal with thee. Therefore, defend thyself.
I am your lord, the king. Strike, but no duel.
Highness, thou mayst remember, yesterday thy sword encountered mine.
I yesterday could do it. I your name knew not, and you were ignorant of my rank. Not so today. You know who I am. I who you are now.
Perchance.
No duel. You can murder.
Think you that kings to me are sacred? Come, defend thyself.
You will assassinate me then. Ah, bandit, so you dare to think that we disdain the ennobling of your dirk by touching of our own sword in duels with you. Away, and murder me.
Go, then. We shall have fitter meetings. Go, get thee away.
Tis well. I go, sir, soon unto the ducal palace. I, your king, will then employ the magistrate. They'll yet put a price upon your head.
Oh, yes.
From this day, I reckon you a rebel, traitorous subject. You, I warn. I will pursue you everywhere and make you outlaw from my kingdom.
That I am already.
That is well.
But France is near to Spain. There's refuge there.
But I shall be the emperor of Germany, and you under the Empire's ban shall be.
Farewell. I still shall have the remnant of the world from which to brave you, and with havens safe o'er which you'll have no power.
But when I've gained the world...
Then I shall have the grave.
For touch of lady whom the bandit loves.
Make me not recollect, O future Roman Caesar, that despised I have thee in my all too loyal hand, and that I only need to close it now to crush the egg of thy imperial eagle.
Then do it.
Get away. Go. Fly. And take this cloak to shield thee from some knife I fear among our ranks. My thwarted vengeance for myself I keep. It makes against every other hand thy life secure.
And you who've spoken thus to me, ask not for mercy on some future day.
Now let us fly. Be quick.
This king, whom to his face just now I braved, will punish me for having dared to show him mercy.
Hermione. Oh, I shudder. Never mind, let us be quick and fly together then.
To ask of thee to share the scaffold? No, no, Dona Sol. That is for me alone.
And yet you promised even that.
At this same moment, when perchance from out the shadow death approaches, I still declare I am a happy, to be envied man. For you have loved me, and your love have owned. For you have whispered blessings on my brow accursed.
Hermione.
Praise be the fate, sweet and propitious, that for me now sets this flower upon the precipice's brink. It is not to you that I am speaking thus. It is to heaven that hears, and unto God.
Let me go with you.
Twould be a crime to pluck the flower while falling in the abyss. Go. I have breathed the perfume. 'Tis enough. Remold your life by me so sadly marred. Wed this old man. I release you now. Be happy and forget.
No, I will have my portion of thy shroud. I follow thee.
Oh, let me go alone, exiled, proscribed, a fearful man.
Hermione, do you fly from me?
Then no. No, you will it, and I stay. Behold me. Come into my arms. I'll wait as long as thou wilt have me.
Tocsin, dost thou hear? The tocsin.
No, 'tis our bridal bell there ringing.
Fly, oh, fly, the town lights up.
A torchlight wedding for us 'tis.
The nuptial days of death. There's a tomb.
The runners, sir. The alcaldes rush out in cavalcades with mighty force. Be quick, my captain, quick.
It's well. I'm ready. Quick, quick, thy sword. Farewell.
'Tis I have been thy ruin. Oh, where canst thou go? The door is free. Let us escape that way.
Is that my friends? No.
These clamors terrify. Remember, if thou diest, I must die.
A kiss.
Hermione. Husband. Master mine.
Alas. It is the first kiss.
The chance. The last.
Hermione escapes. For months, nothing is heard of him. Don Ruy has taken Doña Sol to his castle high in the mountains of Aragon. Now we have come to the day the old Don has set for his marriage to his niece. He escorts her to the great gallery of family portraits in the castle. Here, surrounded by his ancestors in their heavy gilt frames, Don Ruy makes a new declaration of his devotion. He is interrupted by the entrance of Hernani, disguised as a pilgrim. Don Ruy offers him shelter. The old man, not knowing of the deception, leaves Hernani and Doña Sol together. He returns to find them in each other's arms.
This is what I find of hospitality.
A joke.
This, then, is the recompense from thee, my guest. Past 60 years I've lived, and met sometimes unbridled souls. Murderers I've seen, and coiners. Traitors, varlets, poisoning their masters. And I've seen men die without a prayer or sight of crucifix. But never have I known perversity so great that feared not thunderbolt, its host betraying. I know you now. You are Hernani, the bandit.
My noble host, I who now speak to you alone have sinned. I would have carried off thy bride, dishonored thee. 'Twas infamous. I live, but now my life I offer unto thee. Take it, then wipe thy sword and think no more about the deed.
My lord, 'twas not his fault. Strike only me.
Be silent, Doña Sol. This hour supreme belongs alone to me. O Duke, Believe the last words from my mouth. I swear that I alone am guilty. But be calm and rest assured that she is pure. That's all. I guilty and she pure. Have faith in her. A sword or dagger thrust for me. Then throw my body out of doors and have the flooring washed, if you should will it so.
But, my lord, I love him.
Love him? You love him? Page, what is this noise?
It is the king.
This last fatality. The king.
He asks the reason why the door is closed, and order gives to open it.
Admit the king.
My lord.
Behind this portrait of myself is a hiding place. See? Come hither, sir.
I am thy prisoner.
Have pity on him, my lord.
Enter.
His Highness, the king!
How comes it then that today the door is strongly barred? Tell me, are we named Boabdil or Mohammed, and not Charles, that the portcullis gainst us you should lower and raise the drawbridge?
Highness.
Take his keys and guard the door.
Yes, Your Highness.
You would wake to life again these crushed rebellions. By my faith, if you, ye dukes, assume such airs as these, the king himself will play his kingly part, traverse the mountains in a warlike mode, and in their battlemented nests will slay the lordlings.
Your Highness, loyal.
Without subterfuge reply, or to the ground I'll raise thy towers 11. Of extinguished fire remains one spark. Of brigands dead, the chief survives. And who conceals him? It is thou, I say. Enani, ring, rebel ringleader is here, and in thy castle thou dost hide him now.
Highness, it is quite true.
Well, then his head I want, or if not, thine. Dost understand, my cousin?
Well, then, be it so. You shall be satisfied.
You repent. Go seek your prisoner.
Note about you the portraits of my ancestors.
I want my prisoner.
What in this dwelling could one say who sees these heroes?
Instantly, my prisoner.
This portrait is my own.
Oh.
Mercy, King Charles, for you require that those who see it here should say, this last, the worthy son of a race heroic, was a traitor found, that sold the life of one he sheltered as a guest. No, 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 I tell you, no.
Oh.
Your castle, Duke, annoys me. I shall lay it low.
I see the hemp spring freely up where once my tower stood high, rather than stain should eat into the ancient name of Silva. It's not true, ancestors. I ask it of you all.
Now, Duke, this head, 'tis ours, and thou hast promised it to me.
I promised one or other. Was it not so? I ask you all. This one. I give my own. Take it.
Give up, Bernani.
I have spoken, Highness.
Search you everywhere, from roof to cellar, but he takes not wing.
Out of my house, demolish stone by stone. They'll only make my tomb and nothing gain.
Deliver up the bandit, Duke, or head and castle both will I beat down.
I've said my word.
Well, then, instead of one head, I'll have two. You, George, arrest the Duke.
King Charles.
Good heavens, is it Dona Sol I see?
Highness, thou hast no Spaniard's heart.
Madam, be still. However, Don Rui, thy scruples are excusable, and I esteem thee. To thy guest be faithful still, and faithless to thy king. I pardon thee. It is better that I only take thy niece away as hostage.
Highness, me?
Yes. You.
Oh, generous conqueror that spares the head to torture thus the heart.
Choose twixt the traitor and the Dona Sol. I must have one of them.
Save me, my lord. And yet, it must be so. I follow you.
In the end, you'll soften, princess mine.
Leave me, my child. I have but her, O king.
And yield up my prisoner.
No. In pity, take my life.
Thy niece.
Take her. And leave me honor, then.
Adieu, Duke.
Till we meet again.
This way, men.
Whilst thou goest joyous from my house, O king, my ancient loyalty goes forth from out my bleeding heart. Come out, Anani. Here are two swords. Choose, for Don Carlos has departed now. And it remains to give me satisfaction. Choose and be quick. What then? Trembles thy hands?
A duel. Oh, it cannot be, old man, twixt us.
Why not? Is it thou art afraid, or that thou art not noble?
Old man.
Come forth, young men, to slay me, else to be slain.
My life is yours. I bid you take it.
This is well. Thy prayer now make.
It is to thee, my lord.
Pray to the other lord.
No, no.
I was compelled to yield up Dunya's soul, or thee.
To whom?
The king.
Madman? He loves her.
Huh? Loves her?
He takes her from us. He is our rival.
Curses be on him. Let us pursue the ravager.
Listen. Thou hast the right to slay me. Wilt thou not employ me first as the avenger of thy niece's wrongs? I will be thine arm. I will avenge thee, Duke. And afterwards, the life that's forfeit thou shalt take.
And then as now, thou'lt be ready to die?
Yes, Duke.
By what wilt thou swear this?
My father's head.
Of thine own self wilt thou remember it?
Take you this horn, and whatsoever may happen, what the place or what the hour, whenever to thy mind it seems the time has come for me to die, blow on this horn, and take no other care. All will be done.
Your hand, and all my ancestors from their portrait frames, are witnesses.
Hernani has again vanished into the mountains. Spain is in a turmoil. At Aix-la-Chapelle, the electors of the Holy Roman Empire have met to choose an emperor. Don Carlos is awaiting their decision at the tomb of Charlemagne a short distance away. His supporters have warned him of a conspiracy against his life. Among the plotters, a young man and an old man have sworn he shall not live to be emperor. We find Don Carlos pacing the great arched vaults of the tomb with Don Ricardo. It is Don Carlos who speaks.
When they've decided who shall be the one they choose for emperor of Germany, what sign is to announce his name?
The guns. A single firing will proclaim the Duke of Saxony as chosen emperor. Two, if it is Francis. For your highness, three.
But tell me, when will it be truly known who is elected?
In an hour or so at latest.
Three votes, and only three. But first, this traitorous rabble we must crush. And then we'll see to whom the empire falls. Go now. It is near the time the traitorous crew will meet. Give me the key to the tomb of Charlemagne.
Highness, I go at once.
The signal, then, that I await is cannon firing thrice. Forgive me, Charlemagne. Oh, this lonely vault should echo only unto solemn words. Thou must be angry at the babble vain of our ambition at your monument. Here Charlemagne rests. How can the somber tomb, without a rifting spasm, hold such dust? And art thou truly here, colossal power, creator of the world? And canst thou now crouch down from all thy majesty and might? It is a spectacle to stir the soul. What Europe was, and what by thee 'twas made. Oh, Charlemagne, and since 'tis God for whom all obstacles dissolve, who takes us now and puts us face to face from this tomb's depths, endow me with sublimity and strength. Let me be great enough to see the truth on every side. Show me how small the world I dare not measure, where each one, complacent with himself, regards the next with scorn that is but half restrained. Teach me the secret of thy conquests all, and how to rule, and show me certainly whether to punish or to pardon be the worthier thing to do. Emperor, what can, after Charlemagne, another do? Speak, though thy sovereign breath should cleave this brazen door. Or rather now let me thy sanctuary enter alone. Let me behold thy veritable face, and not repulse me with a freezing breath. Upon thy stony pillow, elbows lean, and let us talk. Yes, with prophetic voice, tell me of things which make the forehead pale and clear eyes mournful. Speak, and do not blind thine awestruck son, for doubtlessly thy tomb is full of light. Or if thou wilt not speak, let me make study in the solemn peace of thee, as of a world, thy measure take. Oh, giant, for there's nothing here below so great as thy poor ashes. Let us enter now. Oh, God, if he should really whisper me. Who comes? Who dares disturb besides myself the dwelling of such dead? My murderers. Ah, I forgot. Now enter we the tomb.
All now are here. Gotha, to you it falls to state the case. Friends, darkness, wait for light.
This Charles of Spain, by mother's side a foreigner, aspires to mount the throne of Holy Empire.
But for him, the grave.
So be it.
German his father was.
His mother Spanish.
Thus you see that he is no more one than other. Let him die.
Suppose the electors at this very hour declare him emperor.
Him? Oh, never him.
What signifies? Let us strike off the head. The crown will fall.
But if to him belongs the Holy Empire, he becomes so great and so august that only God's own hand can reach him.
All the better reason why he dies. Before such power august he gains.
He shall not be elected.
Not for him, the Empire.
Now, how many hands will take to put him in his shroud?
One is enough.
How many strokes to reach his heart?
But one.
Who then will strike?
All.
The victim is a traitor proved. They would an emperor choose. We've a high priest to elect. Let us draw lots.
What name?
Ernani.
I have one. Yes, one. I hold thee fast. Thee I've so long pursued with vengeance.
Yield this right to me.
Not for my life. Oh, Don Luis, grudge me not this stroke of fortune. 'Tis the first I've known.
But you nothing have. I'll give you houses, lands. 100,000 vassals shall be yours in my 300 villages, if you but yield the right to strike to me.
No. No, I have my father to revenge.
I yield Dona's soul to thee and give thee back the horn.
No.
Oh, boy, reflect.
Oh, Duke, leave me my prey.
My curse is on you for depriving me of this, my joy.
May every treason fall on traitor, and may God be with you now. We counts and barons, let us take the oath that, if he fall, yet slay not. We go on and strike in turn, unflinching, till Charles dies.
Let us all swear
that he must quickly die impenitent.
Fall back, ye gentlemen. The emperor hears. Raise your drooping heads, for Charles the Fifth is here. Strike. Move a pace or two and show you dare. But no, 'tis not in you to dare. Come on, my falcons. I've the nest, the prey. Advance, for flagrant is the crime.
Ah, well. At first I thought 'twas Charlemagne. Alone he seemed so great. But after all, 'tis only Charles the Fifth.
Come, Constable of Spain and your Castilian Admiral. Disarm them all.
Your Majesty. Two electors to represent the Golden Chamber come to offer to your Sacred Majesty congratulations now.
Let them come forth. Bring the Doña Sol.
Now the vaults are brilliantly lighted with flaming torches carried by the soldiers of the King of Bohemia and the Duke of Bavaria, who file into the tomb of Charlemagne. The soldiers form two long lines in this scene of old-world pageantry. Between the lines, the electors pass to stand before the newly created emperor. It is the Duke of Bavaria who is speaking.
Most sacred Majesty Charles, of the Romans, king and emperor, the empire of the world is in your hands. Yours is the throne to which each king aspires. The Saxon Frederick was elected first. But he judged you more worthy and declined. Now then receive the crown and globe, O king. The Holy Empire doth invest you now, arms with a sword, and you indeed are great.
The college I will thank on my return. But go, my brother of Bohemia, and you, Bavarian cousin. Thanks, but now I do dismiss you. I shall go myself.
Long live the Emperor!
What? Emperor? Hermione, heaven, what an unlooked-for chance.
Ah, Dona Sol, my dearest one.
Be silent, all. Is it you, remorseless are? I need to give the world a lesson now. The Lara of Castile and Gotha, you of Saxony, what were your plans just now? I bid you speak.
Quite simple, sire. The thing, and we can briefly tell it you. We grave the sentence on Belshazzar's wall. We render unto Caesar, Caesar's due.
Silence! And you, you too are traitor, Silva.
Which of us two is traitor, sire?
Our heads and empire, all that he desires he has. The mantle blue of kings encumbered you. The purple better suits, it shows not blood.
Seize only those who seem the nobles. For the rest...
I claim to be included. Juan of Aragon am I, Grand Master of Avis, the son in exile born of murdered father slain by king's decree. King Charles, which we proscribe. Thus, death twixt us is a family affair. You have the scaffold, we the dagger hold. Heaven the duke has made me, and exile a mountaineer. Give me my place, ye dukes and counts, my place. King, headsman, varlets, Juan of Aragon am I. If all your scaffolds are too small, make new ones.
I had forgotten quite this history.
But they you bleed remember far better. The evil that wrongdoers thus so senselessly forget forever stirs within the outraged heart.
Therefore, enough for me to bear this title, that I'm son of sires whose power dealt death to ancestors of yours.
Oh, pardon, pardon, mercy, sire. Be pitiful or strike us both, I pray. For he is my lover, my promised spouse. In him it is alone I live, I breathe. I love him, sire, and he is mine, as empire is your own. Have pity.
Rise, Duchess of Segor, Marchioness of Monroy, Countess Albatera, and thine other names, Don Juan?
Who speaks thus? The king?
No, 'tis the emperor.
Just heavens.
Duke Juan, take your wife.
Just God.
Don Ruy Gomez, I know the pride of your nobility. But Aragon with silver well may mate.
My deadly hate is vanishing away.
Don Juan, of your ancient name and race, your soul is worthy. Worthy e'en of her. Kneel, Duke. Receive this collar. By Saint Stephen now I make thee knight. Thou hast a collar softer and more choice. That which is wanting to my rank supreme. The arms of loving woman loved by thee. Thou wilt be happy. I am emperor. Sirs, I forget your names. Anger and hate I will forget. Go, go, I pardon you. This is the lesson that the world much needs.
Glory to Charles!
I only suffer then?
And I...
But I have not, like your majesty, forgiven.
Who is it has worked this wondrous change?
Honor to Charles V and Charlemagne!
Honor to Charlemagne! Leave us now together.
It is the wedding night of Hernani and Doña Sol. There has been great public rejoicing, both in honor of this event and the ascendancy of Don Carlos, who has become Charles V at the age of 20. Now the celebrating is over. On the terrace of the palace, the lovers have a moment to themselves.
At last, they all are gone.
Dear love.
It's late. At least to me, it seems so.
Angel, dear, time ever drags till we are together.
How good you are to me. My heart, Hernani.
Madam, what name's that? I pray in pity, speak it not again. I'm Juan of Aragon, the spouse of Doña Sol, a happy man.
Thou art proud and noble, my own lord. Come, look upon the lovely night. The silence is too deep, and too profound the calm. Say now, wouldst thou not like to see a star shine forth from out the depths, or hear a voice of night, tender and sweet, raise suddenly its song?
Capricious one. Just now you fled away from all the songs and lights.
Ah, yes, but yet a bird that in the meadow sings, a nightingale in moss or shadow lost, or flute far off. The music sweet can pour into the soul a harmony divine. Like a heavenly choir wakes in the heart a thousand voices. Charming would it be. My prayer is heard.
Oh.
Don Juan, I recognize your horn.
Is it so?
Far better do I love the horn that sounds from out the woods. And since it is your horn, it is like your voice to me. Don Juan, this music fills my heart with joy.
Call me Hernani. Call me it again. For with that fatal name I have not done.
What ails you?
The old man. Can you not see him there?
Oh, you are wandering. Who is this old man?
The old man.
What is the secret that afflicts thee thus?
I swore it.
Swore?
No, no. Do not be frightened. He claims the pledge. He has my oath.
Sufferest thou so much?
My best beloved. Now listen. There's a little box that in less happy days I carried with me.
I know what it is you mean. Tell me your wish.
It holds a flask of an elixir which will end my sufferings. Go.
I go, my lord.
Whatsoever may happen, what the place or what the hour, whenever to thy mind it seems the time has come for me to die, blow on this horn and take no other care. All will be done. This oath you swore and had the dead for witness.
What wouldest thou of me?
I give thee choice, twixt poison, draught, and blade. I bear about me both. We shall depart together.
Be it so, Don Rui.
Which of them wilt thou?
The poison.
Then hold out your hand. Now, drink that I may finish.
Wait till tomorrow. Then thou canst come back.
Childish it is for you to jest this way. Tomorrow! Why, the bell this morning tolls thy funeral. And should I die this night, who would come and take thee after me? I will not to the tomb descend alone, young man. 'Tis thou must go with me.
Well, then I say thee nay.
As I expected. Very well. On what then didst thou swear?
Oh,
on a trifling thing. The memory of thy father's head. With ease, such oath may be forgotten. Youthful oaths, a light affair.
My father.
'Tis but a perjury and treason.
Duke.
Since now the heirs of Spanish houses make a jest of breaking promises, I say adieu.
Stay, then.
I failed to find that little box in your hand. Am I poison?
Don your soul.
What is it that I have done to thee?
I had thought to hide it all from thee. My life I promised to the Duke that time he saved it.
Unto me you do belong, not him. What signify your other oaths? My love it is which gives me strength. And, Duke, I will defend him against you and all the world.
Defend him if you can against an oath that's sworn.
What oath?
Yes, I have sworn.
It cannot be.
It must be done. Allow it, Doña Sol. My word was pledged to the Duke and to my father now in heaven.
See you this dagger? Old man, imbecile. Do you not fear the steel when eyes flash threat? Take care, Don Rui. I'm all of thy family. Listen, mine uncle. Had I been your child, it had been ill for you if you had laid a hand upon my husband. Alas, my lord, I am but weak woman. My strength dies out within my soul. I fail so easily. Have pity. You're killing me indeed in touching him. Mercy, have pity now so well. I love him.
You love him too much.
He has my promise, and it must be kept.
Proceed.
Not yet. Deign both of you to hear me.
The grave is open and I cannot wait.
Let a poor woman speak what's in her heart. Oh, let me speak.
I cannot wait. Die, die, he must.
Don Juan, when all's said indeed, thou shalt do what thou wilt. I hold the vial of poison now.
Alas,
I do implore thee. Wouldst thou wish to see in me a perjured felon only, and ere where I go, a traitor written on my brow? In pity, give the poison back to me. 'Tis by our love I ask it, and our souls immortal.
But first I...
Down your soul.
Now drink the rest.
Was that for her?
I tell you, drink.
Seest thou, miserable man?
Grieve not for me. I've left thy share.
Oh, God.
Not thus wouldst thou have left me mine. But thou, not thine the heart of Christian wife, thou knowest not to love as silvers do. But I've drunk first, made sure. Now drink it if thou wilt.
What hast thou done, unhappy one?
'Twas thou who willed it so.
It is a frightful death.
No, no, why so?
This leads unto the grave.
And ought we not this night to rest together? Does it matter in what bed?
My father, thou thyself avengest upon me who did forget thee.
What strange agony! Stop! Oh, my darn one! This drug is potent. In art it wakes a hydra with a thousand tearing teeth devouring it. Drink not, for much thou suffer.
Thy soul is cruel, Don Rui. Couldst thou not have found for her another drug?
What dost thou?
What thyself hast done.
Come to my arms, young lover, now. These are our marriage rites. But for a bride... I'm very pale, am I not?
Fulfilled is now the fatal destiny.
Come. Come, Don Iso. All's dark. Dost thou not suffer?
Nothing now. Oh, nothing.
Behold. He's dead.
Oh, no, we sleep. He sleeps. It is my spouse that here you see. We love each other. We are sleeping thus. I entreat you not to waken him, my Lord Duke, for he is weary. Turn to me, my love. Move near. Still closer.
Both dead. Yet only now does the poison seize my heart.
Could be no happy ending for Ernani. It was Hugo's determination to show the emptiness of the extravagant code of honor which ruled Spain in those days. Our play next week at this time will be Bulwer Lytton's Richelieu, with Walter Hampden playing the title role. Till then, I wish you well.
You have been listening to another great play, Ernani, by Victor Hugo, adapted for radio by Thomas L. Riley, who also directed the production. The orchestra was conducted by Joseph Haunty. The cast of characters included Ernani, played by Neil O'Malley, Don Carlos, William Thornton, Don Rui, George Gall, Donya Sol, Selena Royal. The supporting players were John Brewster, William Shelley, John McGovern, Louis Van Ruten, Joseph Curtin, Harriet Sterling, and Charles Webster. A study manual, part two, giving complete background material for the great plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 10 cents. Send coin or money orders to the National Broadcasting Company in care of Great Plays, Radio City, New York. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays on the series. Ernani was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.